Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues of love. Praise his name, I'm fixed upon it, name of God's redeeming love.
Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come.
And I hope by thy good pleasure, safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger, brought me with his precious blood. Tune my heart to sing God's praise.
Our scripture today is taken from Colossians 1, 1 through 14, and I will be reading from the International Standard Version. Paul, an apostle of the Messiah Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, the holy and faithful brothers of Colossae are in union with the Messiah. May grace and peace from God our Father be yours. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, praying always that you, because you have heard about your faith in the Messiah, Jesus, and the love that you have for all saints, based on the hope laid up for you in heaven. Some time ago, you heard about this hope through the word of truth, the gospel, that has come to you. Just as it is bearing fruit and spreading all over the world, so it has been doing among you from the day you heard it and came to know the grace of God in truth. You learned about the gospel from Ephesus, our dear fellow servant, who is faithful minister of the Messiah on your behalf. He has told us about your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about this, we have not stopped praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the full knowledge of God's will with respect to all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you might live in a manner worthy of the Lord and be fully pleasing to him as you bear fruit while doing all kinds of good things and growing in the full knowledge of God. You are being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might patiently endure everything with joy and might thank the Father who has enabled us to share in the saints' inheritance in light. God has rescued us from the power of darkness and has brought us into the kingdom of the Son whom he loves, through whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. This is the reading of God's word for the people of God's word.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Carolyn. Would you bow your heads with me just for a moment and let us pray? God, we thank you for your word, and we pray the words that I speak and the meditations of our hearts collectively are acceptable in thy sight. Amen. Someone was kidding with me this morning saying, this ought to be a short sermon because we know you're on your way out to vacation. It's not that short. So, although I did make a joke because last week in the Crossroads service, I've ran over time and said the preacher does have his watch on today, just so you know. So I do have that. Lots of jokes about that. So, well, today is about bearing fruit and growing fruit. And, you know, when you think of fruit, you think of lots of different things, don't you? Many things come to mind, and we all have our favorite fruit that we like to eat. And flavors that we care for. I know my wife, she likes the more berry type stuff. I'm not so keen on that. I'm more of the cantaloupe kind of guy. You know those great big huge ones that come fresh out of the garden that are so sweet and they taste so good. I don't mean those things you pick up at Walmart that don't tell them how long they've been sitting on the shelf. Don't read up on those too much. You'll get a shock. But I mean those ones that your local farmers really grow and do a great job of. And I think some people even call them mushmelons or something. There's all different names. But they're so good. Oh, and it's getting close to lunchtime and it's sounding even better. So we have our own particular understanding of what it means to bear fruit and to grow fruit in our own life. And we know that it takes a lot of work to do this. If you're going to grow a garden or do a garden, you've got to know what you're doing. You can't just throw seeds on the ground. You have to intentionally look into what kind of plant you're going to plant, what kind of nourishment that it needs, and know that you don't plant zucchini and watermelons near each other, that kind of thing, and you get wazzini or zottermelons or weird stuff going on, you know. So you've got all this kind of thing that's kind of happening. So there's a lot of thought that has to go into it. So it's not just a happenstance. Unless you're just really gifted in that area and you can just put a seed in the ground and it grows, you might have that kind of gift. But today I want us to look at not just a physical fruit that we speak of, but we're talking about spiritual fruit. The scripture today that we see that Paul is writing to the church at Colossae is to commend them on the fruit that they were producing and the spiritual fruit that they were making and that they were growing, right? And this is a great lesson for us about what it means to bear fruit, what it means to grow in our faith, what it means to grow closer to God and to work and to live in that faith, and that not to have a faith that is stagnant or one that is cold, but yet one that is hot and alive and working and going out and living out God's love. The scripture tells us when it comes to growing our spiritual fruit, if you will, is that first we need to seek the knowledge and the will of God. We need to understand, just like I said, that you need to know if you're going to plant a specific kind of physical fruit, you need to understand it. You need to know it. You need to have an idea of how it's going to thrive and how it's going to grow. As Christians, we are called to seek God's will, to look for God's will. In the Lord's Prayer, we say, "Thy will be done," right? Not "my will be done." We forget that. Many times we're praying, "My will be done." You know, like Garth Brooks said, "Thank God for unanswered prayers," right? God, let your will be done and not mine. Let me seek your knowledge, your wisdom, your understanding. That's what the scripture tells us. We start there. In order to grow spiritual fruit in our life, we have got to be willing to get in to God's word and to listen to God and to pray and to meditate and spend time with God. To go to the author of life, the creator of life, and just dwell in God's presence. Because if we just march off on our own, well, growth, well, we don't get what we necessarily need. You know, and we both know that the fruit is not all the same. Just because a plant can produce fruit doesn't mean that it's edible. I can remember as a kid my grandfather pointing to me and telling me what I could eat and what could not be eaten out in the wild, right? And of course my mother said, "Just don't eat any of it. And you're safe." Yesterday on the Facebook forum for the Arkansas Backroads, I guess it was, or a couple days ago, there was somebody posted these pictures of elderberries, and they wondered if that's what they were and if they could eat them. And I'm like, you know, I don't think I would take that risk because there's another berry that's out there that looks a lot like them. Let's put it this way, if you eat them, well, you just don't want to. Because you can mix it up and then you're going to have a really bad day. So not all fruit's the same. So we've got to ask ourselves in our life, are we truly bearing God's fruit, or are we just bearing some sort of fruit that really is not so good in our life? Are we not bearing any at all? Scripture tells us in Galatians 5:22, it says a great description of what God's spiritual fruit is. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." These are great descriptions of the kind of fruit that we should be spreading and we should be growing in our life and cultivating in our life. You notice on there it doesn't say bitterness, anger, judgment. None of that's in there. All of these things edify and build up one another and ourselves. They bring spiritual nutrition to us that we all so much need. And these are not empty calories, if you will. You know, there's some things you can eat in life that might taste good and they really don't do anything good for you, right? These really bear with them spiritual substance that keep us going and keep us moving. Because the scripture tells us that if we keep growing, we are called to grow in faith, that this pleases God for us to grow. Not one of us is called to just sit and do nothing in our life. Not one of us is called to a point of being able to just take up space and not do anything. Now, God still loves us. And God's love for us does not wane, even if we don't produce the spiritual fruit that we should. Because God has already provided for us in salvation through Jesus Christ. But we, as Christians, are called to grow. I've met people that have made it to their eighth decade in life that have not grown one day past the day they said, "I do," to Jesus. That the goal in life is just to make it to heaven. But friends, as great of a goal that is, that is before you, and one that you did not earn, but God gave you, wouldn't it be great to make other people's lives heaven as well? God calls us to grow in our faith and to bear this spiritual fruit, but it requires within us work. We are not working out our salvation. We are not working out our grace, but yet we are working our spiritual muscles. And just as you cultivate the fruit, you cultivate your spiritual growth. The scripture gives these words that growth requires work, the words of strength and patience and endurance, and all of these words that are mentioned in there. None of these are easy words. These are difficult words. But we're called to this. My father tells the great stories of how he used to do row cropping with my grandfather, and they did soybean and wheat and things like that, and how they would till the soil was not with a tractor because they couldn't afford one yet, but yet he did it with a donkey. And he rode behind the plow on the donkey, and he broke the ground with one of those plows. It was a lot of hard work to get that row crop planted. It was not easy by any means. You had to put some real effort in that and plant the seeds and pray that everything went well. Still a lot of that praying going on with the farm, even though they're probably not running so many donkeys anymore, or mules, they're running these great big tractors. But you know, we all know that even when we put forth a lot of effort, and we put forth a lot of work, and even when we plant a lot of seeds, sometimes a crop fails, doesn't it? It does. Oh, there have been many times in my own ministry where I'd put a lot of energy and a lot of time and a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into a project and just totally watched it fail in a big, spectacular way, you know, kind of like fireworks, you know. There it goes. And you think, man, there went 6 months of my life. Sometimes, as hard as we work, things will fail. And in the church, we might put a lot of energy into something. We might really plant a lot of seeds into something, and then nothing comes from it. But that's okay. Because God has called us to plant and to sow. And know one day the seeds will take and they will grow. Not to be disheartened. You remember, 2,000 years ago, the world would have called what happened to Jesus a tremendous failure, a major crop failure. Here was this teacher, this rabbi, that had this following of individuals who loved him dearly and would give themselves up for him in many ways. But yet he would find himself up on a cross, crucified, and his best friends abandoned him, and one that would even betray him and have him handed over. The world would say that was an awful failure. But God's plan in this was far bigger than what the world could see and understand. God's desire to reconcile his people with him was his plan and his purpose. And Christ overcoming death and rising again on Easter is a reminder to us that what one person might see as a failure, that in God's plans, you don't know what amazing thing might be about to happen. I think about a fellow we had at Ozark, and his name was Red. And Red was the kind of guy that lived up in the hills and really didn't have a whole lot to do much with church. But Red's life was changed. And it wasn't changed by some fiery preacher somewhere, but yet there were seeds of faith put in his life as a child in Sunday school. As an adult, he went on to live his own life and do his own thing, like a lot of adults do. But later in life, when he came close to his final years, those seeds finally took root and grew into a faith. You never know. You never know the seeds that you are planting. You never know the potential fruit that you will bear. But we are called to continually keep on keeping on. I like what John Maxwell said when he said this great statement, talking about when we meet failures in life and when things don't go as we plan, or maybe the fruit, we don't bear the fruit that we think we should for the effort that we have put out. And he said, don't just go through it, grow through it. And that's true. That even in our failures and in our goof-ups and in our trials and try this things that go on in the church and in our even spiritual life, attempting to grow, not to be disheartened when it doesn't happen like we think it should, but yet be inspired that we tried. And to know that through it all, we are living out God's call in our life. So what does the big picture of growth look like? What does it look like when it comes to our church? Is it a number on a dashboard somewhere that is like a stock ticker? Is it one of those things? Is it something where we see elevated numbers across the tithing and giving of the church and elevated numbers in worship? Is that what growth really looks like? Oh, those things of growth are just fine and dandy and they're wonderful. And trust me, as a preacher, I get excited over that kind of thing. But the real growth that God is most interested in is what our mission statement is, the United Methodist Church states, and that is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. That real growth is made when we are proclaiming the gospel of Christ and taking the message of Christ and not only bringing people to Jesus, but yet changing the world as it is for the better. And remember, it requires that hard work of strength and patience and endurance. All of those things that come together. And also remember that you may not receive and see the blessings of the seeds and the fruit that you bear. There might be someone who comes along and harvests off of the seeds that you have planted. But that's okay. Because we don't do this for our own ego. We don't do this for our own pride. We do this because God loves us. And because we want the world to know that God loves the world. And in the individuals within it. Friends, are we bearing the fruit today that we are called to bear? Are we growing in our faith, and are we producing and bearing the fruit into the world and sharing it? That's the other thing. One of the amazing things that is really neat when I watch folks who have gardens, a lot of them will share what they've got as I look right at Bill. His tomatoes are the best. And they share what they have, and it's amazing when they do. I'm not insinuating anything, just so you know. And when they share, it seems that they get more, and it just keeps growing and growing and growing, doesn't it? And that's the way God's love is that when we hand that out and we hand that fruit out, and you know, the benefits of it all, it continues to grow and it continues to bless. So we don't just keep that to ourselves. We don't. It's a sharing thing. So friends, go and bear fruit and share fruit. Love God. Love your neighbor. Follow in God's will and way. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for your text today, and we pray, Heavenly Father, that we will truly be people who grow in our faith and bear fruit for you and for your kingdom. But Lord, as we wrap up in this last song today, may our souls be deepened. May our faith walk be stronger. May the seeds that we plant be yours. And may the fruit that we bear and grow be from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Start our sermon series on staycation, and we're having all sorts of creative ideas about this thing, so we want to make sure you invite a friend along for that, and we hope and pray as well that while I'm off this week on vacation, that you will have a blessed week. Remember, behave yourself, okay? And be sure to treat Tom right, because I know you will next Sunday. It's a good time to bring friends to church. Bring them along. Let them be part of the experience here on Sunday morning. Invite them. Invite them to be with you. Come and sit in your pew with you. Receive now this benediction. Oh God, as we leave this place, we go out of here to bear fruit for you. We go out tending to the fields, planting your seeds. Yes, sometimes collecting the fruit, but walking off in good faith and knowing that others might do so. But Lord, our goal is to work for you. Bless us now as we depart in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our regular Sunday morning worship service from the First United Methodist Church in Mountain Home. Join us again next week at this same time.